So if you were here last week, the first announcement was Clay walking in to announce the Valentine dinner, and he's walking in with flowers. And when I got up, I think I said something like, I need to learn not to go last after what he did. Well, I didn't learn that evidently since last week. I kind of want Ryan to come back up and do it again. Great stories. But let me give you my story of the Here I Am. It was about 15 months ago. It was on November 5th was the last time that I spoke as something like this. If you were here, you may recall, I put my phone up here and I had it count down for 30 seconds. And I was just quiet. And I was trying to create anxiety and trying to create that nervousness of silence. And I remember there were a couple of people that actually said something, you know, because it was difficult being quiet and listening or just not having something happen. And the point that I was trying to make that I said after that is, as we're asking God to talk to us, it is painful waiting for the answer. And we don't know when it's going to come. And so it just creates that anxiety in us. At the time, I had a great job. I felt like I had reached a point in my career where I could have an impact. I had three different divisions, so there was some variety of work to be done. I was part of the executive team, so I felt like I knew what was going on. You know, oftentimes there's mystery in companies. You don't know what's going on. I reported to the president of the company, and the only reason why I say that is there are fewer people in the company that can mess with you the higher you get. So in this case, it was only him. He was the only one. The downside was it was in Virginia Beach. A typical week was 4:45 on a Monday. I would wake up because I needed to get to the airport to get on a plane to land in my office by 9 a.m. on Monday. And then on Thursday, I would fly back, and I would eventually get home like 10:30 at night. And I needed to gear up for Friday morning because I would work at home on Friday. It was a challenge to do that. I mean, there's great things about the job, but the travel stinks. And if anybody thinks that travel is glamorous, you probably haven't done it. Okay, because it wears on you. It's a whole nother effort on top of the job. So my prayer had been, God, do you want me to keep doing this? Do you want me to stay in this job? Or do you want me to walk away and try to find something in Charlotte so I'd at least be home, you know, be home at nights? And when I'd get home at the end of the week, I'm tired. Melissa may want to do some stuff, but I'm like, I just kind of want to be home for a while. So do you want me to find a job at home? I'd been thinking about retirement, but wasn't really sure what that would look like. It's like, do you want me to retire? What do you want me to do? Just make it obvious. I'm not a real bright guy, so make it really obvious what you want me to do. All right, that was the time up to November 5th when I stood here. 2 days later, I'm sitting in my boss's office, and we're talking about some plans that he has. He wanted to reorganize, move some stuff around. I just really didn't think that it was a good idea. I didn't like it. You know, was not happy with it. So we reached an agreement that day that I would exit the company. And so I said, okay, what does that mean? This is where God's providence comes in. He's starting to answer my prayer. He wanted me to continue through the rest of the year, but under a gag order. So I was not to tell anybody until he was ready to make the announcement what was going to happen. And he was willing to pay me part of into 2018. And I'm thinking, sounds like I'm clearly leaving there, you know, because I'm leaving the company. And so now it boils back to the other two things. Well, what am I going to do? But it felt like God was saying, it is time for you to go and go do something else. So because I had some time to think about it, I knew people were going to ask when they eventually announced, so what are you going to do? You know, and everybody expects you to say, oh, I've got a job lined up. And the thought that kept coming back to me is it's time to give back. You know, I've felt fortunate that, you know, I've had the opportunities. God's calling me back to Charlotte, and it's time to give back. And I didn't know what that meant, but the phrase just kept pouncing in my head, it's time to give back. So let me tell you what 2018 has looked like. So I'm tutoring at the elementary school in Old Providence. John Wright stood up here one time and said, hey, they have need over there. If you've got some time, you could do it, do that. I've never been as close to rock star status as I am with first graders teaching them math. I mean, you're really having an impact on them, and they think you know everything, and it's like, no, it's really first grade math. So it's not that big of a deal. You know, Sally has 12 cookies, and Bobby eats 6. How many does Sally have left? But they look forward to it, and you can really have an impact, and you can teach them how to interact with each other. So when they start one of them may be feeling like, gosh, I'm not keeping up at the same pace as the others. I said, do your best to do, you know, what you need to do. I mean, there's ways to have an impact on people, little kids on that. And they may not remember me in 10 years, but I'll get them through this 1 year. There's that. I'd always wanted to coach a T-ball team. I'd always wanted to coach a baseball team. And I asked Calvary, that Champ Sports, you know, do you have a need for a coach? And they said, yes. So then I get to meet these little five-year-old boys, and there's some opportunities to coach them, you know, when they start saying something to another little boy or they verge on some language that I don't think is appropriate, you can still have life moments with them. It doesn't have to be, you know, changing their life, but just having some influence. I was available to my kids. Kathleen wanted to buy a house. I don't know how I ever figured out how to buy a house without somebody helping me. I don't know how anybody, you know, as you look at it, it's a complex process, and you have to know what's going on. Karen was in a car accident, so I could help her with the insurance. You know, here's what you need to do, and we're going to talk to the insurance. I would not have been that available had I still been working. So I joined a men's Bible study. I mean, when you're traveling, it's kind of hard to be involved in a Bible study with some other men. So, you know, that's kind of giving back because I've helped, you know, participated in that. Cindy and Ronnie have been helping my parents for years. Somebody else needed to step in and take some of that responsibility. And the last thing, there's always stuff to be done here at the church. You know, there's just so much, whether it's what's this, do something different, or is there a need that, you know, because somebody who, you know, moved away, you know, there's a gap, and how do you fill that gap? So I'd like to think that I'm giving back and did that in 2018 to be obedient to the call and hearing God's voice. But I'm standing before you now telling you something's still missing. I feel like I could do more. I don't know what it is yet. I have been talking to a company that an executive that I used to be his chief of staff retired and started a new company. And, you know, we had talked about helping him do his startup. I don't know. I mean, I'm talking to them. We'll see if that happens. And it may just be keep doing what you're doing. You know, keep being involved in the elementary school, keep doing stuff here. I don't know what that is, but I just keep, you know, resonating with what Robert's teaching. I said, here I am, Lord, I'm ready. You know, where do you want me to go next? I don't know what that looks like. As I'm wrapping this up, I keep thinking that the here I am isn't a singular event. It's a here I am, what do you want me to go do? And then asking again later. So here I am again, now what? Do you want me to do something different or keep doing what I'm doing now? So maybe I'll be back in another 15 months to say, okay, I was talking to you guys back in February of 2019. Let me tell you where I think God took me next. And I may still be at another point that says, okay, I'm still listening, God, here I am. What do you want me to do in 2020? So I encourage you to listen to what God's asking you to do and just follow what that voice tells you.